Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Pastor Lenny. And I know I told you that Lori would be with me this morning, but she's not. She decided that it was best to spend one more day, one more night with our daughter, Allison, and our new baby grandson, Wilder Charles. And she will be with me tomorrow morning. She will be with me tomorrow morning instead of this morning. And then on Friday, I'm going to have a special guest, someone that is very dear to me. He's a hero in my life. I'm sure you're gonna enjoy Friday's broadcast. I'll keep it a surprise and it will be unveiled Friday morning. I wanna let you guys know how much I love you and appreciate you and how much you bless me. You bless me with your encouraging words and your letters, your text messages, and of course, your generosity in giving is just, you know, it's humbling. It brings tears to my eyes. And, you know, I always have known that if it's God's will, he'll pay the bill. And the way he does that is through his children. And like I said, so grateful and thankful for so many of you who prayerfully consider and give as the Holy Spirit leads you. And like I said, it's humbling, and there's many a time when it has brought tears, and it brings tears to my eyes. So I love you, and I'm so grateful and thankful for you. I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July weekend and experience. With family and friends and enjoying our freedom in this great nation. It might be going through some challenges right now, but it is still a great nation. And God is about to bring about some amazing and miraculous changes. And I can't wait, and I'm very excited about it. Of course, we're so grateful that in addition to the freedom we have in this nation, the freedoms that we do have, there's many nations that can't come close to the freedoms that we have, all right? But we celebrate our freedom in Christ and because of Christ. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 tells us to stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and no longer be entangled by a yoke of bondage. And of course, that yoke of bondage is the law. And many a Christian, many of his children, great numbers of his children do not understand that the law has vanished, that the law has been totally replaced. And many of his children don't understand what the true, new, better covenant of grace is and it's all about. And in the future weeks and months, we're going to be looking at the true, too good to be true, new covenant of grace, excluded solely and wholly from the covenant that it replaced. And in many of Christians' life, they're still living in the mixture of the old and the new, thinking that the new covenant is a combination of the two, and it's not. It's totally not. And like I said, you're really going to be blessed. Tomorrow we'll have an announcement that we're going to be making that I know is going to be blessing a lot of you. I can't wait. But you know, much of what I share with you are revelations that the Holy Spirit, you know, brings to me, and a lot of it, revelations, newness of revelations, contrary to what I was taught and what I was led to believe for much of my Christian life. You know, when you realize that wherever you come from or wherever you, whatever church you attend, you know, for instance, if it's Assemblies of God, and we praise God for the Assemblies of God, but they have a lane. They have a lane, a system of theology that they adhere to, as does the Methodists, as does the Lutherans, as does the Catholics, as does the Baptists. And many of the teachings and the preachings comes from their systems of theological thinking. And so you become a part of that and you develop filters from that. I hope this makes sense. And I had such filters. And then all of a sudden, when you hear something contrary, immediately you think, well, it can't be right because it doesn't fit the filters that I have that have been established from the various teachings and trainings I've received from the various denominations. I hope this is making sense. But I tell you what, if you want to understand the truthfulness of our great and new and better covenant and all the implications of our righteousness and all the implications of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and all the implications of new creation realities, you're going to have to go into, you know, being led by the Holy Spirit and into the Word and be ready and willing to create new filters. New filters. And I guarantee you, you're going to gain an understanding and knowledge and revelation, and it is going to totally revolutionize your life and your living. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a for instance, okay? I have a group that always asks questions, and then all of a sudden the answers will pop up. And I'm amazed at the questions that will be asked, and I'm also amazed at the answers that are given. And just recently, for instance, last week, the question was raised on where the group stood on once saved, always saved. And I just sat back, because many of them have sat under my teaching or listened to some of the things I've shared and whatnot. And I just sat back to listen to all of the responses. And I was really amazed at the answers. And as I pose that to you right now, you know, where do you stand in once saved, always saved? I know some of you are thinking right now, oh no, you can't lose it, but you can walk away. You know, nobody can be kidnapped, but you can run away. Okay. And when we have all different kinds of ways of saying, well, yeah, you can walk away from your salvation. You can lose your salvation. So no, I don't believe in once saved, always saved. And then there's others of you who feel that no. Once you are saved, once you are born again, once you are born anew, once you are born of the Spirit, no, you can't become unborn again. And so we're going to have some fun with it today. We're going to look at some things today. And first thing we're going to look at is Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And it says this: wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Now, I want you to understand something about that the first part of that verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And then there's a semicolon there. All right. So what this is indicating is that because of the fall, because of the choice Adam made, all of mankind, because sin entered the world, all of mankind was now born with and into a sinful nature. Now you have to understand this. Outside of Christ, outside of believing and receiving Jesus Christ, there was nothing you can do to get yourself out of that position of the sinful nature. You could not do anything to escape that position. You have to realize and you have to understand that. Because now the Apostle Paul says, and we're going to read it, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So now look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, what he's saying is, this free gift is nothing at all like the offense. It's far greater. It's far superior. Very important to understand and realize that. For if through the offense of one many be dead, with no escape, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Now, I want to read that. I want to read that from the Passion Translation because it says it so much more beautifully, I believe. And it gives a little bit more clarity. And it says this, now, there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift that we experience. For the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. Far outweighs the crime. It's true that many died because of one man's transgression. But how much more greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus, the Messiah, did for us? Now, the thinking of Paul here is, you could not escape what Adam did. You could not undo it. No matter what you did, no matter what you tried to do, no matter the multitude of good works that you can possibly, you know, fix your mind to do, no matter how many, you know, flat tires you help change, or no matter how many gifts you've put in the offering box, no matter how many days of fasting, no matter how many, you know, days of helping your neighbor clear their yard or clean their yard out or paint their house, no matter what you did or what you tried to do or what you attempted to do, you could not escape from what Adam did. And so Paul is saying here, the magnitude of what Christ did, the greatness of what Christ did, this gifting that came from believing in Christ, it cannot be compared. So you need to ask yourself, what is Paul saying here? And you have to come up with a conclusion. If you could not escape what Adam did, how can you believe that you can escape what Christ did? And you can't. Now, when you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, especially verse 16, where it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. For all who believe. For therein lies the righteousness of God. Powerful. Paul is saying that in this new covenant, this better covenant of grace, once you believe in Jesus Christ, it becomes God's power to save you. God's power for salvation. Now, you've often heard about what that word salvation means, and it's the Greek word soteria, and you've heard that it means to be redeemed, it means redemption, it means to be protected, it means to be healed, and it means to be made whole. But there's one other word that is often neglected that is part of its meaning, And part of the meaning of soteria, salvation, right? Salvation is to be stabilized, to be stabilized, to be established, to be stabilized. And it's a powerful part of the definition of what soteria means, soteriology, salvation. And it's powerful. Now, in Strong's, it indicates that it's saved from the penalty, the power, the presence, or the pleasure of sin. But it goes beyond that. Stability, stabilizing, goes far beyond that. Now, what does safety mean? To be stabilized, to be made safe, to be made or placed in a position of safety, stable, stabilized. And it means this. Soteria, part of the meaning of salvation, God's power to save, that Paul is just not ashamed of preaching, stabilized, to be made safe. It means this. The state of being safe from the risk of experiencing injury or having been caused to be injured, right? Safe from the state of danger, safe from the state of loss of any kind. So, when we initially believe in Jesus Christ, part of salvation is that we are made safe by God the Father. We are stabilized where there is no threat of danger or of loss, of losing this great and wonderful salvation. You can't do it. You see, you think about what happened to Adam in the garden. He had free will, okay? He was given a choice, and he made the choice. And it caused the fall and for sin to enter the world. Now, the last Adam came and did something amazing. He provided a salvation, this new covenant that was forged and formed between him and the Father. This new covenant has no flaw. This new covenant has no fault. If it did, it would not be God's power for salvation. If it did, it would not be greater than what Adam did. And so now here's the key difference. How does it become better? How can we be made safe? How could we be made stabilized? You see, something happens to us at born again that did not happen to Adam. When Adam was created, he was not created in Christ. He was not made stable or made to be stabilized or made to be kept safe by being placed in Christ. You see, that's what happens to us now under this new and better covenant, under new creation realities. Once we believe in Jesus Christ, something amazing happens. And this is why the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, we become in-Christed. In-Christed, where we are a new creation. The old system, the old order, the old man, the old nature has been completely done away with and completely removed. And now we find ourselves in Christ, in-Christed. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, right? And now he talks about being in-Christed. The life that he now lives in the flesh, he lives through the faith of the Son of God because he's in-Christed. He talks about this in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, where he says, it's in Christ I live and move and dwell and have my being. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it tells us, and here's this word, right, from soteria, stabilized, right, made safe. And look at what this verse says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It says this, now he who establishes us in Christ is God. And then he seals us. Now that word establish means this, to make stable. God makes us stable. He puts us in a position, an eternal position, the true inner man, the spirit being, he places that new man in Christ in a totally stable position. This is the word of God. You might not agree with it, but this is the word of God. Now, the reason why you don't agree with it is probably because some of those religious teachings that I've shared with you about. Now, the word established also means to place firmly in position. Your position of righteousness before God has been firmly established by him. This is awesome. To make stable a position of continuance without change. Nothing can alter your position of righteousness before your Father. And to make stable means permanence. Permanence. Permanence is permanent. It's permanent. It can't be undone. It can't be unchanged. Now you see what happens. Man looks at man and doesn't see fruit and says, well, because of fruit, how can that man be saved? There's no fruit. So we're looking at work and we're making a determination that someone is not saved. This is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it tells us that God knows no man after the flesh anymore. You see what happens to that born again believer who is put in this position and can't be moved from this position, can't run away from this position. It's a permanent position set by God. What happens to this person is he's still been taught or living in the mixture of legalism and the law. So he never experienced that that freedom in Christ. He's never taught new creation realities. He's never gains any understanding or revelation of his true holiness and true righteousness. And so he lives a life, okay, that's still entangled by a yoke of bondage. Paul makes it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So as long as Christians live in the mixture, as long as Christians live under the law, sin will still have its power. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul tells us sin has no more dominion under us or over us because we are not under the law, but we are under grace. So you know what? People come, they believe in Jesus Christ, they're made righteous, and they're established in God. But then what happens is they need to know, they need to hear the truth of the too good to be true gospel of Christ, the new covenant of grace, which Paul tells us is the power of God for salvation. And what's necessary is the renewing of their mind to these truths. And it doesn't happen. And so because it doesn't happen, they might not have the fruit. But know this, nothing could unstabilize what God has stabilized. Nothing could undo what God has made permanent. And that is your position in Jesus Christ at born again and born anew as righteous. That's why God doesn't see the black man anymore. He doesn't see the white man anymore. He doesn't see the woman anymore. He doesn't see the man anymore. He doesn't see the slave anymore. He doesn't see the free man anymore. All he sees is us, you and I, established in Christ. Well, I don't know how long it's been, but I hope this little devotion or this little teaching has blessed you. Again, Pastor Lenny saying, I love you. Thank you for all you do for me. And tomorrow, Lori will be with me and we'll have some exciting news for you. I love you. Walk in your freedom. We'll see you tomorrow.